Today's segment of Flogging Theater is brought to you by Gum Brickman's Phone Repair. Got a chewed up iPhone? Go see Gum. Come broken, leave happy and whole again with Gum Brickman's Phone Repair. But Father, I don't want to marry the girl. I want to sing.
No. Look, that's enough. You're going to marry the girl, so you'd better get used to the idea. Guard, make sure the prince doesn't leave this room until I come back and get him.
Right. Not to leave the room, even if you come and get him. Okay.
No. Until I come and get him.
Until you come and get him, we're not to enter the room. Okay.
No. You stay in the room and make sure he doesn't leave.
And you'll come and get him.
Right.
We don't need to do anything apart from just stop him from entering the room. All right.
Leaving the room.
Leaving the room. Yeah.
All right.
Right. Oh, but, well, actually, no. If, wait. Yeah. No. Huh?
Look, it's quite simple. You just stay here and make sure he doesn't leave the room, all right?
Oh, I remember. Can he leave the room with us?
No. You keep him in here and make sure that he...
Oh, yes. We'll keep him in here, obviously. But if he had to leave and we went with him...
Huh? No. Just keep him in here.
Until you or anybody else...
No. Not anyone else. Just me.
Just you.
Get back. Right?
Right. We'll stay here until you get back.
And make sure he doesn't leave.
Wait, what?
Make sure he doesn't leave.
The prince?
Yes, make sure he doesn't leave.
Oh, yes, of course. I thought you meant the other guard. It seemed a little bit weird to me having to guard him when he's a guard, you know?
Is that clear?
Oh, yes. Quite clear. No worries. No problems. None at all.
Right. Where are you going?
Well, we're coming with you.
No, I want you to stay here and make sure that he doesn't leave.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got it. Right.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
As the deep voice man said, welcome to the lightest form of flogging. I am your proper glassware-bearing co-host, David. And sitting across the country from me to contractually negotiated 824 miles is my co-host, Jim.
Hi.
Who was previously sweaty, but is now relieved.
Okay. What is that?
Oh, you were nervous about the drinkware. Like, I know you came into this episode sweating.
Ah.
Like, is he going to have a plastic cup again?
A drink and a song is all I wanted from you. Well, that's great. How does it feel? How does it feel to have some weight in your hand when you take a sip?
You know, it's
of
nice.
The golden aroma.
It's nice. That's all I have.
It just feels better. Yeah. You don't have to have words, David. Mm. Just looking into your baby blues, I know that everything is all right.
That's what they call me. They call me Old Blue Eyes.
Old Blue Eyes. Yes. The curmudgeon-y blue eyes. The Presbyterian blue eyes. Well, hey. Hey, we're in this. We're in a show. We're in another show. Yet another show we're going to impose upon our listeners from the Les Former Flogging Crew. Mm. How wonderful that is. So, hey, David, do we have any follow-up points to regale our audience with? I have two.
Of course. I have...
Count on you, David.
I have to pull these up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You always come through in a clutch. You and Tom Brady coming through in a clutch.
I don't even know how to drive stick.
Okay. You don't? Really?
No.
Don't feel bad. Like, most people don't anyway. So.
Oh, I know.
I do. I drive a stick every single day of my life. No, not every day. I don't commute anymore, but I've been driving a stick since 2005. It's been amazing.
There was a green, wrinkly old woman with a glaring mole on her face who tried to teach me how to ride a broom, but I declined.
I guess that was a good thing. Was that a Dwight thing? Is that a Dwight?
No, that was just me talking about a witch.
Hey, you did it. You made it. I confused you for Dwight, and you were being real. You were being real with me.
Oh, I get that a lot.
You bore your feelings, and I just took them and trotted them underfoot. All right, David, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
All right. I wanted to update the audience. I guess this was actually the case last week, but only it had only just made the news cycles, and I don't follow these things that closely. But I said that in 2021, Lord of the Rings would be remade in 4K. And yeah. I'm here to tell you, the audience, and you, the gym.
Sean Astin was kidding.
Now that, no, it is not 2021. It is December 1st of this year, Jack. And you can pre-order it now.
Now, here's my question. Did you find out what how they were going to do it? Because you and I
did not. I did not. So I'm not going to pre-order it. My plan is iTunes might actually update us for free to the 4K versions. Because that's Apple's policy is like in general from everybody they can anyway. If they release a 4K version, you get it for free because you bought it.
What an amazing company.
I know they're you keep finding out about these things, like how it alerts me to the fact that tomorrow is a holiday and all the rest of it. Yeah, I'm just going to slowly evangelize you. It's going to be
one of these days.
Yep. Yep. Just like theater baptism. But
that'll be right after the Apple conversion. No, I mean, my next phone, I want to be the Pro, the Max Pro.
Oh, wow. That's
I want. Yeah, I want that to be my next phone. I'm really excited. So when my phone dies, that's what I'm going to go for.
It's a great phone.
Yeah, really excited. Both of them. Do you still have that, or have you already updated yourself?
I'm probably going to do the Pro Max 12 just because of the cameras. I use the cameras so much, Jim. 11?
Why is the Pro Max a better camera than just
it the does regular? In the 12 it has a better camera as a larger sensor, which means it gathers more light and it has better image stabilization and it has a zoomier zoom.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, apart from the just the standard the non Max version.
Yeah, yeah. The Pro Max has this year a better camera than the regular Pro.
Cool. All right. Well, then I have that to look forward to. Well, I don't because I'm going to get the 11. Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's still a really, I mean, I use that a lot, and it's a really good camera, a really good three cameras.
I've seen a few pictures you've taken with your phone, and they're just so gosh darn pretty.
Oh.
All right. My next one is, by the way, yes, I'm very excited to see what they're doing. I would love to do some reading and see what they're doing to the effects, because if they're not updating the effects, I don't know how the 4K is going to improve upon, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like we're just going to have to wait. I mean, maybe they'll release more information later, but I started looking around. I can't find any information about what the remastering actually is.
Secret.
Even though pre-orders are available, like you'd think they'd have a trailer by now. Maybe I should start looking around a little bit more. But anyway, yeah, my plan is to just wait until they come out and then find out, you know, how they're, get the information as early as I can, but I will totally buy the set. The extended set, if that becomes available and they're well done, that would be a great way to cap 2020. Is for that to go well?
Yeah, yeah. Could one thing go well? And
I bet he's going to redo it completely in 3D. And there'll be a bunch of like obligatory shots of like swords almost hitting the camera.
What an amazing man of innovation.
And like some kind of dwarf Christmas celebration will make it into like halfway through the two towers.
A dwarf Christmas celebration. That would be pretty good. That would be a sight to see. I would, I'll buy a ticket to see that in the theater. Yeah, that'll be fun. The dwarf, a Tolkien Christmas, a dwarf special on NBC. Okay.
Let's see here. 20 miles. It was just occurred to me after we recorded that the difference between where I lived and where I now live relative to you is 20 miles, which is what I guesstimated like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I was like, I'll bet it's around 20 miles.
And a phenom of estimation.
I just wanted to say that I am very impressed with me, and so are you.
It's very uncharacteristic of you, David. You never blow your own horn.
It's Andy Dwyer. To blow.
You would be just gonna say you would never put your lips on a trumpet, but maybe you would. I don't know.
I do own a shofar.
Okay, good.
And actually I did try to learn trumpet when I was young.
Shofar.
Yeah, I developed an embouchure, as you would say, Jim.
What is that?
It's like the muscles in your lips that let you play trumpet.
Oh. That's what you have to do.
Man, we just need to slot that in random places.
To be fair, we have to attribute the bits we do to the original content creator. In our case, the Flogging Theater segment was from the Monty Python movie, The Holy Grail.
You mean you're doing follow up on this episode in this episode?
Yeah, I might as well.
Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. It's only taken me 100.
Hey, I'm proud of you.
Proud of you. That's from Monty Python, Holy Grail. Now, not that movie. That was actually just one cohesive story, but I was looking at a few Monty Python skits on YouTube, as one does when they go to YouTube. They look at various unrelated clips, but I saw a couple of clips from Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, which is essentially one of their films, and it's all sketch comedy, so it's not one story like Holy Grail was.
Right.
It's just a bunch of different little things, and I am again reminded how influential Monty Python was. Mel Brooks. We've talked about them in the show before. And a couple of other small, various shows that I grew up with that influenced the type of comedy that I really love. And I think it's just been proven again and again and again that I just sketch comedy is how I like to do things. So the long form stories is your thing. The short little bursts of mediocrity are my thing.
And bursts of mediocrity. I wish that could be the title.
Yes. It's too
That'd
many.
That'd be your second title in a row.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. So yeah, that was from Monty Python. Holy Grail, great scene. Gotta love it.
Next up is ecclesiology. I just wanted to point out last episode, I said that if you are in a Baptist church with multiple campuses and one head pastor, that you are technically an Episcopalian. And Ben Robin and the doctor, the good doctor, as you would say, yes, both agreed. And I just, I thought it was worth noting that some Baptists and I agree on something ecclesiologically.
Yes. I should check my Grudem and learn about that. Most systematics deal with polity in some form or another, just a little bit.
I don't know if Grudem does, though. Does he?
Maybe. I don't know. I would just said that to be funny. But no, seriously. I mean, not that that really has any practical application to my life.
That's why I was okay with saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Oh, Jim, I shall now tell you. But that's, we're not going to talk theology here, but in theory, to the extent that we would, is that a pastor has authority over a number of different congregations? Is that the Episcopalianist?
Yeah, it's the idea that there are like super deacons with, or super elders rather, with authority over multiple congregations.
Right, right. Okay. Well, that's good. All right.
Let's see. Oh, you're out of idea. You're out of follow up, right?
I am out of ideas.
All right. Last episode, Jim,
everyone,
I don't remember.
The audience goes, yeah, I heard that.
Last episode, Jim yelled finally at some point in the show. And I thought to myself while I was listening to the episode today, I thought that finally of Jim's is a finally that he uses all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like that finally, if listeners didn't know, like didn't
Did
know
you
better.
Just realize this?
Well, no, I mean, what's funny is you do it for different characters. Like, it doesn't matter who, you could be doing Martin Lloyd-Jones and you'll say, oh, blah, 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 finally. And it'll be that exact. It's like you copied and pasted a clip of you saying finally one time throughout the show. And it comes through like it is borderline digital.
It's all me. Actually, the whole line is, do you understand finally?
Right, right. Yeah. But the finally specifically is you just use that over and over again. I'm not complaining. I mean, but you have used it like nine times. It.
Yeah, well, that's probably around the number of times I've actually used that line ever since the beginning of the show.
Huh.
In our first season, our first 13 episodes or so, I think I used it once or twice.
Huh.
It's a Phil Hendryism. He does it in his bits, and it was just so funny. And the reason why he does it is he quotes old movies that he really loves in a lot of his comedy. He loves movies. And he quotes lines from obscure movies a lot. And it's funny for those who are in the know. Mm. And that's one of my favorite ones. And I did it on the show here one time and just kind of giggled to myself. I thought, I want to do that again. That's just a funny line. It's actually from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. He's in a therapy session with his fellow crazies. And one of them is trying to explain himself. And he goes through this big, long monologue. And at the end, he says, do you understand? Finally! You know,
and there it is again.
It's hilarious to me. And every time I say it, I laugh. So that's what that's from. It's just a Phil Hendryism. And it's just so bleeping funny to me. I love doing it.
And that inspires one last follow-up point, which is that Phil Hendryism, you said?
Yes.
Phil Hendryism is a false religion, and if you are a Phil Hendryist, you should convert to the Christian religion. This isn't a theology show, but I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, to the extent that it is, it would be, you need to turn or burn. That's what I'm saying.
Mm. You should put that on a bumper sticker.
Yes. Today on Puritan Bumper Stickers, turn or burn.
Isn't that a bumper sticker?
Three for a dollar. I don't know.
You know, out of context, it must be really confusing because you're like, but I need to go straight. I'm going to work.
Yes. And there you be. All right. That's all the follow-up I have. David, are you done? Finally?
Finally? Yes, I can't.
Finally?
Finally? Finally?
You just have to push it. Well, my voice is high. I know.
I don't want to do it too loud, though, because...
You do you.
I'm on the neighbor-facing wall.
Oh, you're in a complex. That's right. You have.
It's not a complex. It's like townhomes, but I still have a neighbor facing. Actually, our setup here is pretty sweet because we got the unit that is on the end with the garages, and so we have this like really big master bedroom that's like bigger than two slightly larger than average bedrooms. Yeah. And we have a door leading into the garage, and that side of the house, like, it's not neighbor facing at all. It's not even person facing, like outside facing. It's just garage facing. Yeah. And nobody cares about noise in the garage because it's just a garage. So we have like this whole section of the house that we can be as loud as we want in.
Okay. Well, that's awesome.
It's almost like living in a real house.
One of these days, David, you'll know the feeling.
A house-shaped house, as you would say.
When the little Davids are running around, you are there.
I am going to name all of them David. Sarah and I haven't talked about this yet, but she will yield.
She... Yield. No, she will. She will understand. Finally. Someday she will understand.
Finally!
Finally! Okay. Well, that's all we got. So we're going to go ahead and we got to roll. Hey, it's a Flogging Cinematic Universe episode.
It is, finally.
Episode where we get to be silly. So what we're going to do... sorry.
Unlike last episode.
Nothing silly happened last episode. So what we're going to do today is we're going to roll another skit. This is going to be a sequel, a part two, as you would say.
I would say that.
The amazing Clarence Fleckman, part one. Today's part two. We're going to continue on the story and see what happens to our good pal, Clarence Fleckman. And whoever else happens to be in his way. So we're going to go ahead and roll this, David. So let's get ready.
All right.
In part two of the amazing Clarence Fleckman, we return to find Clarence laying unconscious in the parking lot, having been struck by lightning. Bill, on a trip out for a second breakfast, has noticed Clarence and has run over to help.
Oh, 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 oh. Clarence, you've simply got to wake up. Clarence. Oh, thank goodness, you're alive. It seems you've been struck by lightning. I fear we need to get you to a hospital. Perhaps you need a Halls. Unfortunately, I am all out as I recently discussed the meat packaging industry in Uganda with a customer. Boy, do I have a lot to say on that subject. I don't think I've ever discussed... Right, right. Okay, let's get you to a hospital.
No.
Ow. That really hurts my ears.
What? What happened to my voice?
I don't know, but could you please talk a bit quieter? It's like if Mufasa were shouting 2 inches away from my ears.
I can try.
Ow. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, mommy. Ow. Oh, mommy. Wow. We really need to get you to a hospital.
No! No hospitals. The insurance you have for me... Well, had on me... is terrible. I'd legally owe them every non-essential organ from any children I have and any children that they have.
Well, gee, I didn't realize it was so bad. I am not sure what to do. You need medical attention, or at least a Halls. And again, I am fresh out. I might have some Ricola in my desk drawer. But they're just not the same.
Get away from me!
Okay. Wow! You broke my car window!
I can't believe this Bill got... Wait, this is the voice in my head? I guess that makes sense. I'm glad it's not the big scary voice. This is kind of soothing. Man, this is all Bill's fault, and he just wants me to spend more money on a hospital visit. Money he refuses to pay me! But man, I do have to figure this voice thing out. Maybe I should go see a doctor. Oh wait! I know someone who could help. I mean, he hasn't practiced in a few years, so his techniques might be a little anachronistic, but I'm sure he can do something for me.
And so, Clarence went back to the parking lot, got in his car, and headed off to see if his friend could help.
Yes, just a moment. We'll be right there. Goodness me, you're impatient. I'm on my way. Why, Clarence, what a delightful surprise. I was just listening to some of my own sermons online. Oh, how I missed the good old days. Anyway, come in, come in. Would you care for some tea?
Sure. It's good to see you too.
Excellent. I'll start the kettle. Come, join me in the kitchen. Well, Clarence, it has been quite a while. How have you been? Are you still working with Bill?
I was sort of working with Bill. We sort of had a falling out. And...
Clarence, you'll have to speak up. I've lost my hearing in the war. It's been some time since I've been able to hear like a young man.
That's actually why I'm here. Something has...
Come now. There's no need to whisper. I mean, sure, this is a duplex, but there's good insulation. I rarely hear the neighbors unless they're listening to fish.
That's actually why I'm here.
Goodness gracious. I have not heard a voice so commanding, so beautifully potent since... Well, ever. What happened to you?
Well, it all started with my first sale this month. A man with a weird hat came in and...
Hold on. Do you have a volume somewhere between barely audible whisper and shouting like a man whose hot dog someone kicked?
That's just the thing. I don't know.
Ugh. No matter. You're the first person I've been able to hear clearly since before the Blitz. Now then, tell me how you've become the way you are.
It all started with this guy who came in, Stanley Parker. He had this old mercury-lined hat that was given to him by some guy named James Earl Jones. I guess he did the voice of Darth Pelagius or something.
Come now. You've never heard of James Earl Jones. He did the voice of Darth Vader. I've been dead for 35 years, but even I understood that reference.
Right, okay. Anyway, I managed to sell this guy $1,000 worth of pallets, but then stupid poopy-head Bill wouldn't pay me.
Language?
Sorry. Anyway, Mr. Parker left his hat, so I ran it out to him. It was rainy and stormy, and he couldn't hear me, so I jumped around and waved it in the air to get his attention. Then I heard a loud crack, and that's when everything went black. I woke up to Bill telling me I'd been struck by lightning and trying to rack up expensive ambulance and hospital bills for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess. Any thoughts?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have some early hypotheses. Your voice prior to today's events was very high. Uncommonly high. Higher than even mine. And I am aware my voice is a bit higher than most. Except when I do my low growl. Anyway, James L. Jones' voice is very low. Uncommonly low. The meeting together of your two voices would create a strong contrast, not unlike the contrast created when a high-pressure system meets a low-pressure system, and a storm occurs. And so, of course, the meeting together of your fingers with this hat was a turbidity fraught event. And that, surrounded by an actual storm of the likes I have just described.
I'm not sure any of that makes any sense.
Now, please do shut up. I don't see any other doctor in here. I'm the doctor, and you're not. If you become a doctor, you'll be free to interrupt me, though I remind you, I've been the doctor longer than you've been alive. Thank you very much.
All right, go on.
Now then, the lightning was likely attached to you by this turbidity-fraught meeting of contrasting voices. Either that, or the mercury lining in the hat, which, now that I say it out loud, sounds much more likely.
That's... never mind.
Anyway, it's quite unclear whether the lightning strike endowed you with some of James L. Jones' vocal talent, or if it simply triggered some latent puberty effects. I suppose there's no way to know.
Well, is there anything you can do for me? Is there some kind of treatment?
Honestly, I'm not sure. We could try leeches, but the last positive reference I can remember to those was from the 1923 edition of the Principles and Practice of Medicine. Plus, if it's contagious, we could end up with some very deep-voiced leeches. And no one wants that. Clarence, could I be quite candid with you?
Of course.
If I were you, I would treasure this event. Prior to now, your voice sounded like a pack of monkeys grinding pigeons against cheese graters. That's why most of our best conversations happened via SMS text message. Now, you sound like an angel. And not those precious moment naked baby angels, but like a proper cherub. A terrifying soldier of the heavenly host. You've struggled your whole life because of your voice, but now it could be your strongest as yet. I would train your voice, learn to control it, and then pursue a career with it. This may be the kindest providence to which you've ever fallen victim.
All right, well, thanks. I hadn't thought about it like that. And I didn't know you felt that way about my voice.
Well, of course I did. And so does everyone. It was unbelievably unpleasant. Downright surreal. Like a giant knowing stare into the fourth wall of reality.
Right. Okay. I'm gonna go home and think about this for a bit. I need to clear my head. Thanks for all the help.
Of course. Stop by any time. Especially now that I can listen to you speak without grinding my teeth so hard they bleed a little.
Thanks again. Bye.
Please stand by for a word from our sponsor.
Folks, there's nothing like the power of radio.
Yes, that's right, David. The power to broadcast your brand's message, your brand's story, in an advertisement.
With the right kind of audience and the right hosts.
You got that right, David.
You can sell to anyone.
So reach out to the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast and buy ad space on the show. You'll be glad you did.
Ads like this.
Hi, I'm Gum Brickman. And do I have a solution for you? Do you have a broken iPhone? Or a broken Android phone? Then fear no more. Just bring your phone over to Gum Brickman's Phone Repair at Grover's Family Grocery Store. I have a booth in the back by the frozen section. I am offering free estimates this week. I'm so tired.
Gum? You there?
What did he say?
Quiet, Jim. We're live. Gum, we got to keep the ad read going.
I'm just so tired. I can't do it.
You know, we got to stop doing these live. People are never going to buy time on the show if we do them this way.
You're not helping, are you, Jim? You have the script. Finish the copy. Come on, we're burning daylight.
I don't know.
Come on, Jim. Come on, Jim. Let's go. Come on, read it. Read it.
Why are you yelling?
Go, Jim.
I didn't do anything wrong. Free estimates this week with Gum Brickman's phone. His name is Gum? At Grover's Family Grocery. He's in the grocery store. You'll be glad you went over there. This is the worst copy.
Let me do it.
I'll do it.
We're almost out of time.
And now, back to the show.
All right. Home at last. It sure feels good to be here. Goodness. The doctor was right. Even hearing my own voice in my head makes my eyes curdle. Anyway, I'm gonna use this newfound voice. I need to do some research on how to train my voice.
And so, Clarence researched. He watched countless YouTube videos about vocal training. He even thought about buying a $300 Udemy course that was on sale for only $11. But he ultimately decided it wasn't worth the price. Nevertheless, Clarence consumed free content until late into the evening, falling asleep to an interview clip with Morgan Freeman, as all of us have at one time or another.
Mr. Parker! Mr. Parker, you forgot your hat! Mr. Parker? Oh, it's no good! He can't hear me over this rain and thunder! Maybe he'll see me in his rearview mirror if I flail my arms violently in the air with his hat! Mr. Parker!
Oh, it was just a dream. Wait, no, my voice is still different. I guess I dreamed about what happened to me. I guess it makes sense. I mean, it was pretty traumatic. I wonder how people cope with a traumatic event that endows them with special powers beyond those of typical mortal men.
And so, Clarence fell asleep again, watching YouTube videos, this time mostly of how to cope with traumatic events that give you special powers. So, yes, basically just a bunch of superhero origin stories. When he awoke in the morning, he was so excited to go tell Martin Lloyd-Jones about his decisions, he almost forgot to wear pants. Almost. So, this is not a pants joke. Not quite.
I'm coming! I'm coming! Oh, Clarence, it's you again. How was your voice?
Still the same, but I think I've learned to control it a little better. I watched a lot of YouTube videos last night.
Fascinating. I have often wondered what even one evening of vocal training from the tubes could have done for my preaching. Perhaps I could have rivaled the Prince of Preachers from a generation prior. Anyway, enough about me. It seems you've made a decision.
A couple, actually. First, I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to pursue a career in vocal work. I've already created a Fiverr account. We'll see if we get any bites.
Yes, yes. Fiverr is a great way to get started. I have an account there myself, where I do impressions of, well, myself. It's proven quite lucrative, mostly because of new Calvinist churches, but it pays the bills.
Yeah, I'm starting there. I hope to make something of a name for myself and eventually move on to bigger and better jobs. Maybe even doing Hollywood trailer voiceovers one day.
Yes, I believe that's what all basally voiced gentlemen aspire to. I'm sure you can do it. Anyway, you said you'd made two decisions. What's the other one?
Right, well, what happened to me is not exactly natural. I did a lot of research on what the consequences can be, and I realized when one unexpectedly receives supernatural gifting such as I have, one needs to protect his loved ones. I'm going to create a secret identity. That way, no one I care about will be hurt because of my fantastic and sometimes potentially heroic feats.
Well, that seems like a bit of an overreaction. I mean, you simply have an uncommonly nice voice now. I wouldn't say it's supernatural. And how would you even use it heroically? If anyone could use an alternate identity, it's me. Why, through some yet-to-be-explained series of bizarre events, I've come back from the dead. If I had an alternative identity, perhaps I could start preaching again, rather than sitting at home drinking Baileys and reminiscing about the good old days. Perhaps I should pursue this. I could get a cape and a superhero name like Old Golden Tuck.
Now hold on, before we get into your issues, I'll have you know that my voice shattered Bill Hassinger's passenger side window. I'm sure I could do even more with training.
Are you sure? Perhaps you just startled a bird who flew into it at great speed. An unladen swallow can travel up to 40 miles per hour.
Wait, I thought they could only travel at 24 miles an hour.
That's a European swallow. I'm talking about an African swallow.
Oh, but how would an African swallow find itself in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps it came on a boat or something.
Look, all of this is beside the point. I'm pretty sure it was my voice and not a bird.
All right, well, if you're pretty sure.
I am. Anyway, I made my decision. When we're in public, please, don't refer to me as Clarence Fleckman. You may call me Deep Voice Man.
Don't you think that's a bit on the nose?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty specific power. I don't want people to get confused and think I can fly or something.
I see, but you could still get more creative with it. How about the Trumpeting Avenger?
That might make people think I can play the trumpet. Plus, wouldn't I have to actually avenge things?
How about the Bellowing Vigilante?
I like bellowing. But isn't calling myself a vigilante just asking for the police to arrest me?
Fine, then. If you're going to just reject every suggestion I make out of hand, go with your choice. Goodness, you're worse than J.I. Pacquiao.
Look, I'm sorry. I've just thought a lot about it. I'm open to suggestions, of course, but I kind of have my heart set on this.
It's all right. This is your decision. Anyway, can I make you some tea?
Of course. No cream in mind this time. I just learned it's bad for the voice.
After enjoying a dairy-less cup of tea with the formerly late Martin Lloyd-Jones, Clarence, Deep Voice Man, began his new career. As you might expect, he grew quickly in respect. Starting off with commercials for some kind of football cream, then for Fancy Feast cat food. He had just lined up a gig with the Kit Kat Bar people. When he got an unexpected phone call.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Deep Voice Man. It's been a while.
Bill, how do you know I'm Deep Voice Man?
Well, I was looking for voiceover people over on Fiverr, and I found your profile.
That's supposed to be my secret identity. You're not supposed to know my real name.
Well, it's not a great secret identity. You have your picture there, and Fiverr requires that you give them your full legal name.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I've been meaning to get that changed. It's important to have a secret identity when you have powers like mine.
Powers?
Yeah, my voice.
I don't know if I would call your voice a power. I mean, it's nice and all, but it's not like you can leap tall trains with a speeding bullet.
Oh, what about the time I broke your car window?
Oh, yes, I've been meaning to tell you. You didn't break it at all. I found a dead African swallow in the passenger seat later that day. I think you just startled him. And those things can really get moving.
Wow, that's really disappointing. And how did it even get to the Pacific Northwest?
Anyway, I'm calling because I would like to enlist your services for an advertisement. Everything you advertise for seems to turn to gold, and I could really use some gold pallets right now. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Well, sure, but I do need 50% up front, though.
Actually, I wondered if you could do it for free, as a favor for an old friend.
What? You still want me to work for free? You've got some nerve.
Well, potentially. If the ad worked, I could pay you something out of whatever profits arrive. After I satiate my many creditors, of course.
This is exactly what you did before.
Does that mean yes or no?
Of course it means no. How could you be so dense? Look, if you don't want to pay me, you can go find someone who will work for free. I'll understand. I'll be hurt, but I'll understand.
Well, I suppose I can understand your reaction. But you should remember that with great power comes great responsibility.
Hello? Hello? Huh. His cell phone provider must have refused him service after overhearing how mean he was in our conversation. Serves him right. I don't need him. I'll grow this pallet business on my own. On my own.
But Bill would not grow his pallet business on his own. He would instead drive it into the ground, forcing himself and his family to live in squalor, only adding to his wife's ever-growing drinking problem. We find Bill in the midst of a large herd of pigs, longing to be fed with the disgusting field corn he was feeding them.
Oh man, I am so hungry. I haven't eaten since that six-pack of Hot Pockets I had 2 hours ago. I wish I could just munch on some
of
them.
You there! Get off my property or I'll get my shotgun!
I don't understand. I'm just feeding your pigs. It seems like poor employee relations and I'm going to have to contact human resources.
I didn't hire you! I have machines to feed the pigs and I'm not paying you to do what a machine's been doing for decades!
Another job given to the machines. I don't know what gave me the idea this could work.
Get out of here!
Oh. I'd better call my wife and tell her the bad news.
Hello? Who is this?
Honey, you sound different. Is everything okay?
What? Honey, is this Bill Hassinger?
Oh, no. You don't even recognize me. What has happened, my love, my dear? My little velvet cup.
Bill, this is Deep Voice Man. You dialed the wrong number.
Oh, Clarence. I mean Deep Voice Man. You have no idea how good it is to hear your voice.
Good to hear my voice? Are you looking to hire me for another unpaid gig?
Listen, I am so sorry about that. I didn't mean to insult you. I wanted to pay you. I just couldn't. This business was going under. It wasn't your fault. Well, it was marginally your fault. I mean, I sold fewer pallets than you, but you didn't do too well yourself.
What? I thought things were fine. You had just gotten a foosball table for the break room.
I lied about that and bought it on credit. I wanted you to think things were going well. I couldn't admit to anyone, not even my grandma, that things were going so poorly.
Oh, well, that makes things a little different, I guess. I'm sorry I wasn't more patient with you. Were you able to get things turned around?
No, I'm afraid I was not. I lost the business, and then we lost our house. I built a new one out of old pallet inventory, but it kept falling over because I couldn't find enough free nails. I tried getting a job as a telephone switchboard operator at Verizon, an elevator attendant at Macy's, a bridge toll collector, and now a pig feeder. But they've all been replaced by machines. Next up, I'm going to try doing tech support for Microsoft. I'm sure that still needs a middle-aged white American male touch.
I'm so sorry, Bill. That's it. With great power does come great responsibility. From now on, I'm going to help everyone who needs my voice. Whatever they can pay, even if it's nothing. I can't be the hero you need right now, but I can be the hero you didn't deserve to others.
That is great to hear, friend. I actually know some folks who are starting something and don't really have a budget, but they could really use your services.
Send them my way. Helping a friend of yours is the least I can do.
And so, Deep Voice Man agreed to do his first job pro bono, which means free. He arrived at their small, humble studio, ready to try desperately to help a project that was clearly not going anywhere.
So, who is this guy that's coming in?
His name is Deep Voice Man.
Huh? What? That's not a real name. Are you sure he didn't just come to steal our kidneys?
I guess not. But, I mean, it's not like you can tell even if they have a normal name, like Frederick Hasselbladder.
What? You think that's a normal name?
Look, I panicked. You know what I mean? Besides, he's the only person who would do the job for free. And I've heard his portfolio. He's got a really good voice.
All right, fine.
You guys ready?
Yep, go ahead.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.